Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Difficult Conversations, where we tackle taboo topics in a safe space through empowerment and education. The information on this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered professional mental health advice.
So today we are going to be focusing on friendships and how to find friends as an adult and what does that look like. And so I want to start with you ladies. Can you talk about a little bit about your experience about finding friends as an adult or making friends as an adult? Maybe Abshira or Bonnie, one of you guys go ahead.
Okay, I can start. I think it's really hard, like, making friends, like really like true deep friends, especially when you're an adult. Cause I think like going when you're in college or high school, you had things or activities that kind of brought you together, you know, you were maybe in the same classes or in the same groups or whatever. So you kind of had a reason to interact with these people. But you know, once you are out of college, you have your own life, you have your own family. It gets really hard to maintain those ties and to maintain friendship because now you have to go out of your way and call people and check in and make an effort almost, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maintenance is difficult, and then also making friends is difficult. Making friends for me, it's difficult for two reasons. One, I feel like when you're younger, your boundaries are a little bit more porous. So like you tend to allow things to happen or allow people to act certain ways. So that way, you because your boundaries are so weak, you tend to get like a bunch of, you know, people in your circle. And then when you're older, your boundaries tend to be a little bit more rigid. You tend to love your peace too much for other people to disturb it. So you kind of start dropping people that are going to be a disturbance to your peace. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, if you are doing the work and if you're being protective of your peace and your space and you're, you know, doing self-care. So because of these boundaries that you create and then also your values become rigid, right? Like you're not easily influenceable. You're not trying to please people. You're not trying to be like, what's it called, there in everybody's situation and be super accessible. Mm-hmm. So when you have this thing and your values are rigid, your boundaries are rigid, the people that are willing to tolerate that are also very small. Mm. So that creates like, okay, I guess it kind of becomes a filtration system, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then the people that survive are gold, like, mm-hmm. you know, like diamonds, yeah. right? Like when you shift yeah. the dirt out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me specifically, I have gone through it all. You have to be so damn good to be in my circle, because my circle is very tight and very small, and only you know, the most awesomest can be in it. So I don't have time for it, and I don't have time to. So yeah.
So what I was gonna say is that as an adult, generally making friends, it just depends on commonality and what are the people that you feel that you're in line with, whether it's your value, whether it's your passion, whether it's community, whether it is hobbies. The commonalities are really, really important that makes sustainable friendship. And I think a lot of time that when we're younger, we don't look for those things, mm-hmm. right? My other question is going to be for you guys, like, what do you look for in friendship? So I want to kind of go in that angle a little bit. And as a younger, when you're younger, you're just like, you're in the same environment, whether it's school, whether it is activities, whether it is family, whether it is you just meeting people through friends, because of those things that makes it available, makes it easier to have the accessibility to people, making those connections makes it so much easier. But what comes as an adult is that we learn based on the early experience of friendship that didn't work out. And so the friendship that kind of caused some sort of like wound on us, emotional mm-hmm. wounds. And we kind of very like vaguely try to distance ourselves from people because you anticipate like, what if this person ended up being like XYZ person that who had harmed me mm-hmm. in the past? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I would say that I love the idea of cultivating healthy friendships. People are like-minded, religiously, you know, professionally, not being able to be like, you know, avoiding conflict, and conflict is part of relationship. And I think sometimes people also forget that conflict is what elevate friendships. And, but then you have to understand, how do you handle that? And so how do you talk to that person when conflict arises? And so in that space, it makes it harder as an adult. And then we also kind of like, in the space of working and the mundane life, kind of a little bit hijacked our way of interesting, like, do I need friends when I'm so busy? Can I make space for other people?
Yeah, I think you touched on a really good point of like, do you need friends? You know, because when you are out of college, you have your own family, you're married, you have kids, you're almost like, yes, I'm like so busy and I can't like even imagine keeping up with three or four people. But I feel like tend to forget the importance of friendships. And like, for example, we all know that hadith where like your friends are basically who you are and where you end up to. Mm-hmm. And if you are friends with people that are, you know, good and remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's who you associate with and who you become, you know, and the reverse is just is equally important. And I think when it makes life so much richer and deeper when you're able to cultivate these rich friendships. But I think a lot of us, at least for me, I feel like a little bit stunted almost, you know, in regards to how do you cultivate those friendships? How do you be vulnerable? How do you put yourself out there? And I think for me, it's more of like a fear aspect, you know, of like, okay, not knowing if you can really be fully yourself with this person. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to just decide to just keep things to myself. And because I always go by this rule of like, whatever, if I say something, right, if I put it out there, and somebody does something with it, I'm kind of responsible, right? Like, not really. Hear me out here.
Okay.
Hear me out. Because I decided to tell this person something, right, about my life, about whatever. And if in fact they come out or like they do something with it or they would tell somebody, I tend to blame myself. I'm like, well, like, you told them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's my relationship with friends, and I tend to just keep things to myself.
Have you not blamed anybody else? Like, cool. In that situation, for example, if you did say something and something went out there,
yeah,
and then it came back to you, and somehow, like, why would you blame yourself first instead of saying like that person's not trusted?
Yeah, but the thing is though, like, they did not force me to tell them, right?
But you being a human being who likes to share and being part of, like, you know what I mean? Sharing, being vulnerable, actually also one of the significant aspects of friendships.
Yeah.
And vulnerability is not when things you overcame, it's as you're going through it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people, like, you know, create a deepened relationship to one another when you are saying like, look, I'm really struggling right now and I don't even know what's going on. And I just need a space to kind of talk about that and create that some sort of safe space. But I think is the fact is that I'm going to refer to that because a lot of hesitations culturally, I don't know where that comes from, but there is this like fear of not allowing ourselves to be with people because we're worried about either where is this conversation going to go, who's going to take it, and where is it going to come back to? And if it does come back to, how do I handle it? That is a lot of mental pressure to just, like, you can't allow yourself to be then.
Yeah, it's safer for me, honestly. It's safer. And this is what I'm going to do.
No, I also don't want to push you on the topic, but I just want to ask, because a lot of people also probably feel the way you do.
Yeah.
When you say you blame yourself and you know, to a certain aspect, you know, whatever, you have to take responsibility to your part of the equation, right?
Yeah.
But then friendship is a contract both people come into, right? So you both have this understanding that, like, I trust you, you trust me, my mm-hmm. secret is safe with you, your secret is safe with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person goes out of their way to violate that mm-hmm. contract,
mm-hmm.
yes, you did trust the contract and you did share. That's your, it's not necessarily your fault, but mm-hmm. it's your contribution to the conflict. Mm,
yeah. But you didn't vet this person enough.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But then they violated. So that's like, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? You gave the material because you abided by the contract of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
They violated because they didn't respect the contract.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So mm-hmm. like for me, and I when I say this, I'm being kind of like a hypocrite because I am also afraid of sharing with people. But where me and you kind of differ a little bit is mm-hmm. that for me, for a very long time, I went with, I trust people until they give me a reason not to. So I used to be very open and very bubbly and then like, just, you want to know something? Just ask me, I'll tell you. And I realized that it's not that they would go and tell people, it's that they already came into the friendship with an assumption of who I was, right?
Yeah.
So whatever they were taking from my story was that it was like a validation of whatever they think I am, not who I am or not what the situation is or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was unintentionally giving people
ammunition
against me. And so I realized like, okay, you know, I have to be very, very careful about what I put out there. Mm-hmm. I have to be very careful of who I bring into my circle, you know. And at the same time, when Dahabe was talking about our culture, I actually, when you think about how our culture develops, right? And I don't know if it's in other communities, but I can speak in our community. Since we were children, we were taught like family business is family business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't take it out there because it will come back, right? Or you're told that you hear your parents, so your aunts and your mom and talking and be like, did you hear about her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unconsciously, you're paying attention to, oh, I don't want to be that girl that they're talking about in another household.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to put anything negative about you out there.
Yeah.
You know, your family doesn't put anything negative about you out there.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to be part. That's where the guilt comes from, because you're like, oh, I put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's spread.
Mm-hmm.
But that person broke the covenant of friendship.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But I think like, it's just, I don't know, it's my personality that I think that there's certain parts of me, and I think I've said this before on other episodes and stuff, there's certain parts of me that nobody will ever have access to, not even my husband, nobody, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think I like it that way. Like I find comfort and I find, I don't know,
ease
and, you know.
Sorry, that's very healthy.
Yeah.
In the words of Maya Angelou, there should be a place where you retreat to.
Yeah.
That's sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's between, and in the words of Dahabe, she told me this about 12 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Where you and Allah communicate, right? There should be a space that's reserved for you and Allah only.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very healthy.
Yeah. And I think like, and that's the other thing that stems from it, too, that I think, like, yes, you can have really deep connections with people and friendships and stuff like that. But I think if you're, say you're going through an issue, you know, I don't find it beneficial to say, like, even if I had a really close connection with Dahabe, you know, I wouldn't call you and be like, oh, you know, this is this issue that I'm dealing with. And it's like on my mind, it's a vice or whatever that I'm, especially if it's, say like you're involved in a bad deed or something, right? My first thought would always be to first of all make dua, you know, like go get on a salli, pray to rak'ah, and then go into that space you were talking about, Bani, the space of just you and Allah and working through that, you know, because if I tell the next person, right, is that really gonna, because tomorrow when I get over that issue or I am able to, you know, find a way out of it, they're not going to forget, you know, even though you've done the work, you know, you've gone over or whatever, they're still going to remember that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's my first thing.
Well, I mean, that makes sense for you.
Now put on your don't put on your therapy hat.
I'm not. Okay, for this situation, because I think there's a lot more to unpack there. Mm-hmm. And if a client like yourself came to me and talked about that, mm-hmm. I would talk about early wounds.
Yeah.
And we'll unpack that. But at the same time, right now, I think you said...
But there isn't an early wound there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I feel like...
There is.
No, there isn't.
Because it's not even that. Okay, it's not. We're not going to highlight it as that.
Okay.
But I think what I want to go back to, you mm-hmm. said earlier, I find comfort operating the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I find ease. Mm-hmm. So I want to leave it there.
Yeah.
So,
can I pick it up there? Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I don't think it's wound, but I think it's an unconscious note that you made to yourself when you were a kid from situations that you've observed. So it might not be wound in the sense that like...
Somebody did it to
somebody you. Somebody did it to you.
That's true.
Or somebody even did it to someone you know.
Yeah.
But you either have seen
mm-hmm.
it be done to people, like, you know, the people that you love do it to other people, or the other people do it to the people you love.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere you've either been a witness
mm-hmm.
to, or you've heard the situation. Does that make sense? Like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
And then you've heard the situation and you've made an unconscious note that you can't really go back and recall because it's been so long ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not one situation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not. For me, for example, I remember specific incidents mm-hmm. where people around me, adults around me, had conversations about either, you know, so-and-so's child, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I've talked about this mm-hmm. even in other episodes where, you know, there were girls in our community that were doing things that were not necessarily mm-hmm. appropriate. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I was being mm-hmm. chastised for their mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. For the thing, or I don't even want to call them mistakes. That's their life's journey, their journey. I was being kind of, so for me, that was less like, every move I made,
mm-hmm.
every decision, like even friends, the way I picked friends was like, do you have the same restrictions as I do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get like, or is your maka okay?
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
your maka is not okay, I'm not trying to get dragged into your maka. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, if you're, so I'm like, I'm trying to stay clear. If anyone,
it's like you're doing a background check and everything.
Background check, exactly. Just in case, because I didn't want my name in another person's
situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, either I did. So, it wasn't necessarily a wound to me, mm-hmm. like, but it was, mm-hmm. I witnessed.
It's a learned behavior. Yeah. I can take that.
I want to know, have you guys had a friendship breakup then?
Definitely.
No, I think.
I want to know.
No, I think for me, it's not like a breakup where like abruptly like, oh, I'm not your friend anymore. And then we storm off. No, I think over time, what happens to me in a lot of my relationships, not a lot of them, like some relationships is that there'll be distance, right? Like, you know, you're not. We might have moved states. When I was younger, we moved around quite a lot. Like, I feel like I've been to 3 or 4 high schools growing up. So we moved around a lot. And if you move away, then it creates that distance and your friendships kind of just fade, you know, especially if they're not super strong ones. Mm. And I think out of all my relationships, probably my longest one is probably like a 20-year friendship. But it's, you know, we grew up together. We still kept in touch even when we moved, you know, quite a bit and stuff like that. So
are you guys still together?
Yeah, we're still together.
Okay.
24 years strong.
Okay. What about you, Bonnie? Yeah.
Oh, I've had friendships explode. Because no, the thing is, I tend to speak like every conflict out. Like I talk everything out. You know, mm-hmm. I don't say like.
Yeah. So you create problems.
Hey. Excuse me. No, I address them. Excuse me.
She's expressive.
I address them.
Yes.
Anyway.
So you're that friend.
I'm that friend. I bring it to the table. I'm like, hey, so, you know, I'm feeling this type of way. How do you feel about it? Did you mean to feel, you know, is this the way you wanted to move? Because I'm receiving it this way. Is this the way you meant? Was it what you meant? I give people the opportunity to course correct. And if they don't.
I wish I can do that.
I know, me too. It's such a gift.
The thing is, I don't know if it is because it's like, for me, I don't want to hold people accountable to my assumptions of what they did. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I give you the opportunity to say, hey, actually, you misunderstood. Because I'm not always right. And sometimes I project my own insecurities, my own emotions onto situations, and I misread things. Mm-hmm. So I give you the opportunity to say, hey, this is what I understood from the situation, the way you spoke, the way you moved, the way you acted, whatever the case is. Yeah. And if it is, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are certain things, obviously, hardcore red lines that people should not cross. And if they do, there needs no conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my conversation would be, hey, assalamu alaikum. I feel this type of way about the situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think me and you should continue.
Oh, you actually have said that
definitely.
To people?
Because I also don't like ghosting people.
Okay.
I'm very clear on, like, I try my best to leave situations in the best terms. Because my mom used to tell me that it's better to not have any friends than make enemies, unless that enemy is for a cause. Ooh. So if you are making enemies because you're standing for something, more power to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're making enemies just because you're miscommunicating or because you're whatever, or you're, you know, then it's not necessary, you know? Right. So I kind of try to move that way.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to the whole, like, how do I address conflict or how do I kind of just, you know, first of all, with my friendships specifically, the one that comes to mind is in college. I was friends with a couple of girls.
Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful girls, but there's triangulation happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, I hate that.
Me too.
And
I hate that.
There's triangulation happening. And I also was at that time trying to find my voice, right? Mm. I was trying to stop being such a people pleaser. I was trying to kind of be more real. But then that realness was like getting taken out of context, right? So I consistently was trying to morph myself and contort myself into something that they were comfortable with, right? Because I am very much of an open book. I tend to tell people, you're moving kind of weird right now, even if it's not for my benefit, even if it's for their benefit, whatever the case might be. So I was contorting myself into something that I didn't feel comfortable with, but that was making them feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it's not worth it because, one, there is a triangulation. They are more close with each other than I am with them, right? And there was already a selection. So it was like, I know that I wasn't, like, how do I explain this? If there was a life raft.
Wow. Okay. So you know which one is going?
If there was a life raft and there was, like, a piece of bread and the other, and me, I know they would pick the piece of bread over me. Does that make sense?
That is a very difficult space to be in.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of admit myself. I admit to myself, like, why are you pretending?
Yeah.
Like, why do you need this? Like, why are you pretending?
Why do you guys think, like, we do that as women? Like, why don't we just have friends? Say you're friends with, like, three girls or whatever.
It's case never, in point.
Yeah. But no, it's never the case that, like, equally all three are, like, exactly on the same page, same level of friendship and stuff like that. Because I, like, even in high school, I did have a friend where, like, me and one of them were, like, really close. And then the other girl, like, all three of them, I considered them equally friends, right? But one of them, whenever I would hang out or talk to the other girl, she'd, like, I don't know, she'd just kind of act weird. Have you guys ever had that situation happen to you?
I am the girl that would act weird.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm just explaining what you mean from my understanding. Like, because the thing is, what you would think as as you are being equally friends, mm-hmm. It might not be really equally, especially when it comes to youth, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
For me now, my understanding is that everyone has different relationships with everybody else, mm-hmm. and. Also,
it never can be equal.
It never can
even
be equal.
Between your kids, you can make
exactly.
it equal.
Exactly. And then also, everyone needs different things from everybody else.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just, never mind, keep going.
No, everyone needs different things from everybody else. Yeah. So for me specifically, I'm understanding that, like, I have to be 100% authentically myself in every situation. Mm-hmm. I can't, as long as I am at peace mm-hmm. in who I am mm-hmm. in that space, and I feel accepted as who I am, and I'm getting what I need from this friendship, mm-hmm. and then you are getting what you need from my friendship with you, it doesn't matter how close you guys are. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. My friendship and you is very unique.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
my friendship with her is very unique. We're mm-hmm. getting, I'm getting from the Habe what I need, mm-hmm. and she's getting from me what she needs.
Mm-hmm. But then there has to be a clear communication from the three people to establish that level of trust. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Security in the relationships. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there's somebody's going to feel insecure in that relationship because of there's something like a lot of time what happens is that plan is made behind without communicating, including that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's like it wasn't intentional. It was just mm-hmm. it happened because mm-hmm. of whatever the reason is. Right.
Yeah. Especially if you're working on one thing all together.
Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. even that. Yeah. Let's say, for example, you accidentally call that person mm-hmm. and you're like, hey, what's up? Do you want to get coffee? I need to talk to you about something. That's not planned. It's just a randomly mm-hmm. a day and mm-hmm. not very intentional. Mm-hmm. Right. But then if that person hasn't heard from you to saying it, if they found out like down the road that this happened, mm-hmm. they're like, why didn't they not include me? Mm. What happened?
Yeah.
Like they will come up with that kind of creative stories, you know?
I think that's who I was. But now I'm realizing that there's no such thing as a three-way friendship. It has to be
one-on-one
friendship. Yeah. You can't.
But I understand what you're saying, the Habe, like when you're making plans, you know, behind the other person's back. I think
but you're not.
It feels that way. To the group chat saying, hey, we went out today. We were thinking of you. And it was just like, you know, like, even
but no,
like,
though, I understand that part. I think what you're saying, I understand if you are working on a project together or like if you are, you know, for like what we're doing, you know, like if me and Bonnie went out to coffee and we talked about next episode or next season.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, then I would feel like, okay.
Not necessarily. That's not what I'm talking about. I was talking about just random intentional friends that unintentionally happening.
But in that regard, I agree more with Bonnie. I think sometimes it just happens spontaneously. Like if I'm driving in Blaine or whatever and I just stop by or whatever.
No, not even that. Sorry, go ahead. Finish. Sorry.
What is going on? Are you okay?
Not even that. This is specific.
No, I genuinely feel like three adults, because mm-hmm. like Ahun, for example, I should call the Habe.
Yeah.
Right? I should call you and be like, hey, the Habe, let's go have lunch.
Yeah.
And me and you have lunch.
Yeah.
We talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about. And then come back, right? Sigale. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to tell Abshiro. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
that's me true. And I agree.
As long as.
The intention security has to happen. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Maybe
and
because we're so secure with each other. That's how I feel.
No. Okay. Yeah, right? Now, that's the biggest thing. So let me finish that thought first. Uh-huh. The intentional security in relationship has to be there mm-hmm. in order for the group not to feel any some sort of way about one another. Mm-hmm. If there's some sort of like the intensities are different, mm-hmm. the treatments are different, mm-hmm. then there is unintentional insecurity happens in relationship. That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to make sure that you talk about things mm-hmm. and not make it like
As they come
and not make it to be.
Don't make votes. That's all I say. If you make votes, then there will be problems.
Okay, I think we've veered off a little bit. let's go back to, because earlier we talked about how like it's hard making friends because I feel like you have these problems when you have friends.
These problems?
No, like I'm saying, like in general, we have these problems of triangulation or whatever when you actually have friends. But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people who don't know how to make friends? Where do you go to meet new people? And are they do want that connection with the next person? You know, even if you are married and whatnot.
I think I want to talk about what to look for in friends and then look and where to find them, right? First, understand what are you looking for in friendship, right? What is your values are you looking for, right? For some people, it can be honesty. It can be respect. It can be attentiveness. It can be communications. It can be stability, whatever. What are you looking for in friendship? Once you establish that, I think the best aspect of finding friends is like in a group setting. Right? Group setting, activities, community event, social gathering that one friends have. So kind of if somebody invite you, go, then you meet somebody else there. If you like outdoor stuff, find hobbies and things that you're interested in. And those are the spaces that eventually you'll meet people, right? But you have to also get out of a little bit of your comfort zone, willing to kind of give yourself a chance to do something that's not usually you look into doing it.
Out of routine.
So that's something that I would say that would help.
Yeah. I would say like go to the gym, take a class, meet people, say hi. I think that's my biggest issue is like, I don't know. I live in my head a lot, you guys. Right. So if I would see somebody new, even at work, for example, and I know she's Muslim or Oromo or like, you know, I've seen them somewhere. I'm walking, right? I'm walking past this person and I'm like, okay, should I just say hi? I walk by the girl.
That's me. I can't give anybody any advice on how to make friends because I don't know how to make friends as an adult, to be honest. Yeah. I think the thing is in social media, if I see someone that's like, they post something,
but that's a paradox, whatever.
But then even in person, if I see a girl and I can go to the, oh, mashallah, you look so beautiful. I am so generous with that. I don't have any problem going to a random stranger and be like, hey, I know this is going to sound very weird, but I just want to tell you, you look very beautiful, mashallah, and move on.
Yeah.
But then going that extra part of like going, hey, like, let's have tea or let's have coffee or like let's exchange numbers.
Yeah,
I'd rather ask a guy to exchange numbers with me than a girl. Like I will. It's so petrifying because
I'm so opposite on that. I can make friends.
Yeah, but that's a paradox too, right? Like I feel like in this day and age, you have so many people online that you interact with and stuff like that, but not necessarily in real life, you know. And I think
I don't interact with people online.
I know, but you at least have people on your feed or whatever. You see what they're doing.
That you think you know.
Yeah.
You know. I have so many people in my head that I think I know them because I see their life on social media. But in real life, I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, ability to cultivate friendships and meet new people, I think a lot of people are losing that.
Yeah. Sadly. And I think the best way to do about it is kind of taking those like, an initiative to yourself, and if you feel like it's important to you, and that's something that I think might be helpful for you to do, and so hopefully you follow those suggestions that I provided, because at the end of the day, you know what, we all need friends, we all need community, we all need fostering that environment, and so that we have a way of connecting to other people besides our already pre-fostered friendships, and we all need friends. So
yeah.
That's all I wanted to say about this topic. This is Difficult Conversation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Join the conversation in the comment section or on our social media pages. We do not have all the answers, and our biggest goal is to kick off the conversation and get it started. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and use us for catalysts of change.